Thanks for listening to the Subtext podcast. We are a Leeds-based record label. We really hope you can get involved with our Patreon, which is only £3 a month, and will help support the label and the artists on it and allow us to keep doing this podcast. But the best thing you can do is just tell other people. Tell other people about the music we're releasing. Tell other people about the record label and tell other people about the podcast. We really hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to episode 6 of the Subtext podcast. This is in no way the second time we've recorded this at all.
Yeah, definitely not.
This is in no way a version 2 because someone made a massive mistake while recording it, not looking at me.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I was going to be like, someone.
So if it sounds like we're just like regurgitating some shit, it's because we're regurgitating some shit.
Yep.
So welcome to Subtext podcast. My name is Ed.
I'm Eli.
I'm Seth. We forgot to do that bit the first time around.
Oh, yeah, well done. We did. Yeah, so
that's already better. You know, that's an
improvement already.
Exactly. So on episode 6, that is apparently, you were saying, Seth, that's better than a lot of podcasts I ever get. Right?
I think even 3 episodes is more than most podcasts. Yeah. And like the frequency has been pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been better if, you know, again, you guys didn't get ill, but you know, we'll do the check-in in a minute. But if you want to keep supporting our endeavor, how can you do that?
You better get your ass over to patreon.com/subtxt.
Subtext.
Yes, and you can just for £3 a month, which is the price of like less than a cup of coffee, a cup of street coffee.
Yeah.
You know, you can support us making this podcast and all the artists on our label who work very hard to reflect the world as it truly is for all you lovely human beings.
I like that the first time we recorded that, you were like, can you please go to Patreon? And the second time you were like, get your ass over to our Patreon.
I'm not going
to
be polite anymore. Fuck you. Get over there. Give
of
us
course, if you can't afford to pay, don't worry because you can still listen to it for free. It's all good. That's the model.
Yeah.
But we would love your money.
Yeah, we would.
You know, we really would.
Really would. You know, like,
we gonna need it.
Sincerely.
So how is everyone this week? How are you doing, Eli, apart from being ill last week?
Yeah, I got COVID. That was fun.
Great.
I knew that COVID was still kicking around, but it was one of those things where I was like, nah, we're not in that anymore.
Well, you recovered quickly, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It was not bad this time. I think it's because I've had it 3 times before. The only thing that I was worried about was by the time I'd taken the test and it came positive, I was like, ooh, have I had it for a few days before that then? Like, who have I exposed it to? You know, it's kind of like finding out you have chlamydia. Like, calling all your... everyone you've been in contact with in the last 3 days and being like, I have COVID, so you may want to see if you have COVID too.
Oh, I've also got chlamydia.
I'm sorry I licked your face when you came over.
Chlamydia always reminds me of the... Do you guys know the song Lydia the Tattooed Lady?
No, but now I will never hear the name Lydia the same again. Now you said that.
I always might think of chlamydia. Oh, have you? Chlamydia.
It's a very musical.
Thanks. Wow, that went off piste.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna talk about doing a shift at the studio that I work at.
Yeah, do that.
Yep. Got to fix my first studio issue when they couldn't figure out how to get the jack to jack to work.
What was wrong with the jack to jack?
It was 2 different jack to jacks. I'm now basically a studio engineer, so call me up.
You got a jack problem? No problem.
No problem. I'm here to help you.
This thing doesn't work. Is it plugged into the other thing?
And that's I am the equivalent of, have you tried turning it off and on again? From the IT department.
Well, bless your heart. Well done.
Yeah, well done.
Thank
That's
you.
Great.
Thank you. I'm a tech genius now. Thank you.
And are you finding it at Old Chapel Studios?
Oh, it's friggin' brilliant. Everyone that works there is amazing. I mean, like the programs they run, they have a sign in the bathroom that like they have this thing in the bathroom that has all of these like free pads and tampons. And they're like, feminine hygiene should be free. And I was like, fuck yeah, I love working here.
Right.
Yeah, how was your week, Ed?
Oh, my week was very nice, thank you.
I forgot to ask him that last time we recorded this podcast.
Absolutely.
I completely moved on.
You're just like, good, that's fine, Ed, move on.
Improvements left and right.
I went to the launch pad
conference. That was what I was looking for. Word. So I launched my conference, which was held on Friday, which is great. And there was like loads of different artists there and loads of different people, lots of different organizations. And there's a lot of panels. But I think the main thing is just kind of meeting people and bumping into different like humans and going, you're still, and like
what's it actually for? Can you just give us a quick rundown?
So it's a lot of it's just kind of talking about the state of music within the North. So like, and opportunities and developments and both for artists, but also just kind of what is happening in the industry in the North as well, and kind of like programs that have been built, some advice panels as well. So it's kind of a real mixture of people say, like, you know, everyone from like, you know, Come Play With Me and Clue to, you know, like EMI North. And then there's people.
Those are all record labels, by the way.
They're all record labels. And then like Heavenly, which is also a record label, and people from Beggars Group. And so, you know, like, you know, really, really great people, but also a lot of people kind of working in the behind the scenes stuff that you don't necessarily see, the kind of people who are lobbying and trying to get kind of more support for music and more and kind of and give it a, you know, more clout, because you know it's a billion, you know, it's worth billions of dollars, billions of pounds. Meh.
Even yeah, you picked up on our lingo.
Yeah,
the North
it's
Americans.
Too long, the fucking and North Americans.
who runs the Launchpad?
So it's run by Music Local. Which is an organisation that is basically sort of supporting the local music scene. So the main guy's guy called Whiskers, Sam Nichols, So I'm actually working with those guys on a program called Mastered, which is a skills boot camp, which is a 6-week program on how to kind of start a music business within the North. And I'm delivering that for them, and that's a free course to anyone who wants to. Do it.
Ooh, how do you get involved with that?
You can, it's there, if you go to the Mastered website, and also if you go to Launchpad as well, the Launchpad website, which is, I think, just launchpad.co.uk, you can find out about that. So yeah, so that starts in April.
Cool. And I mean, the Launchpad happens pretty regularly, right? Is it how many times a year?
Well, so the main conference is once a year, but they do loads of different events, and they do loads of kind of education events. Yeah. And they're
open to all artists and labels, right?
Yeah. And it's also just not, and it's not age restricted as well. So it's like a lot of different people. So yeah.
Yeah. So if you're an aspiring artist and label, you might want to get involved with that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's, absolutely. And, you know, we're going to be featuring artists later, and they were at the Launchpad. So, you know, networking is awful word is networking.
Community.
It is community. That's what it is. It's another word for community. And I think networking always feels like it's a bit underhanded, but actually, really, if you go into those things with the idea of like not thinking, oh, I'm going to make loads of great contacts and get, you know, out of it, I think you'll always be disappointed. But if you just go, I just want to meet some nice people, and, you know, That's the best way to do it.
Yeah,
it?
I think when you label something as networking, there is an idea of transactionality, kind of.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if you meet someone and you can't give them something or they can't give you something at a purely networking event, some of those connections can be missed. And so if you go into it with the idea of creating a community and building your own community, maybe you have nothing to offer each other right now, but you really get along. And A, that is something that you offer. And B, down the line, who knows what'll happen?
Yeah, or they recommend you to someone else, or you know, they go, oh, you need to speak to that guy, it's really good. Seth, how are you doing, man?
As the long-standing tradition of our 6-episode running award-winning podcast.
Award-winning.
We won an award.
In the ancient tradition.
Yeah, it's called a pat on the back. Yeah. <ourselves.
laughs> We're like 4.9 stars on Spotify.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we are. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. Oh, yeah. In the ancient tradition of the Subtext podcast, I'll just bring the mood down a little bit. And I'm just going to have to mention that it is day 152 of the Israeli genocide against Palestinians. And I mention this because I am a descendant of Holocaust survivors, and we lost a lot of people due to bystander culture, right? People just standing around and watching and allowing things to happen. So I cannot be one of those people. So I'll just say that at this point, just rattling off some of the numbers, which are pretty horrific, 133 journalists, which is about 10% of all Palestinian journalists, have been killed. They have been targeted directly. And obviously their work is incredibly important, because without them, we don't actually know what the hell is going on there. In total, 100,000 civilians have been killed or injured, including 30,000 deaths, which the majority of which are women and children. starvation's now being used as a weapon and children are dying of malnutrition. So yeah, the war crimes are just mounting and too horrific to list all of them. But if you want to do anything to help, you can I recommend Medical Aid for Palestinians, MAP. They're a charity, the boots on the ground charity. So if you have occasion to donate some money, you want to help out in that way, just find them.
Yeah, this month, if you're choosing between donating £3 to us or donating to them.
Yeah, absolutely to them. And yeah. Seth, you sort of talk about, you know, because I know it's been hard for you and you've made you feel quite despondent and I know how much, particularly because, you know, we're talking about kind of repeating history and that kind of generational trauma. Like, is there anything anyone can do? Look, if you can't afford, you know, to kind of give money or you're not comfortable giving money to, for whatever reason, like, is there anything else that people can do to kind of make themselves feel proactive about what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think first and foremost, it's important to educate yourself so you can, I mean, just go and read about the history of the conflict and don't read it from an Israeli source. Find a neutral source. There's plenty of them out there. And you can talk to other people about it. Just open a discussion with anybody, especially those who disagree with you. That's always helpful. And there are lots of local groups who are doing stuff. That I've got one in Horsforth where I live. See if there's any local groups who are just, you know, just doing a little bit of local activism. There's a march. There's a big, big march on Saturday, the 9th of March. That is a national one. There'll probably be one in your city. There's definitely one in Leeds. Those are all things you can do.
Obviously, you as a creative as well, that's sort of something that you're, you know, so your new single that we talked about last week, Forever War, kind of talks about the military industrial complex, but also which obviously feeds into kind of what's going on in Palestine and the atrocities that are happening there. Is it weird because in the perfect world, I suppose Fold wouldn't exist if. Like, does that make sense? Like, the perfect thing is for you guys not to be doing, need to be doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah, although, I mean, there is no such thing as a perfect world.
And no.
It's always about reflecting honestly the state of affairs in the world, and especially the things that aren't being amplified enough to counter existing narratives, the prevailing narratives, because the world is shaped by stories. And there's, at the moment, is definitely an imbalance of, let's say, false narratives versus what's really actually happening behind the scenes. And that's the kind of thing that we're trying to amplify. If things were a little bit better, we could just hold back on the serious stuff. We could throw in a little bit more humor and a bit more levity. And I look forward to a time when we could do that. But at the moment, let's say it's about 80-20.
Yeah.
And in terms of stories, I think that's a really, you know, really good point, is that, you know, that, and I think, because we're the information, the spread of information is so vast now, and especially with the advent of AI and kind of what that means and the kind of ramifications of that, which I don't even think we've considered yet. We're already in a misinformation age. Like, where do we find the truth? You know, and
that's a big question.
It's a big question, right?
Because a big part of the consequences of what we're seeing right now is that, you know, we already had a lot of mistrust of authority, and now this is a total breakdown of trust and authority, and rightly so, because we can't trust the people who are running the world to run it according to their own treaties and international laws. But I think, like we were saying before, one of the most important things we can do is obviously educate ourselves, but also, you know, it's the next generation who are going to run the world in the future. And the best thing we can do is bring up decent human beings who have self-awareness, self-empowerment, who can see things for what they really are and challenge authority and ask questions. And that's what we're trying to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's again, we sort of like, I know we've touched on this in other episodes, but like that, the thing that we sort of talk about with kids is this, like, oh, they just, you know, TikTok, and it's no, they've got no, you know, they've got no head for anything long, and they're in the long form, and they're not, you know, it's all just consumable and instant gratification and stuff. But I, from my personal opinion, like, experience is that, like, this generation is probably the most switched on and most knowledgeable that I've ever met.
Yeah. You know what? Gen Z are killing it.
Yeah,
they are fucking killing it.
That's, I mean, you, that, isn't it?
It is me. Yeah. Thank you for the compliment.
Well, they are, you know. Those who are most eloquent and active in the protest movement at the moment are all Gen Z. You know, they've really got their heads on screwed on the right way. They're you know, much more than our generation, mine and Ed's.
It's really cool watching the younger generation, you know, come to these. Even if in my life experience, from when I came to some of these issues, watching people come to those same issues 10 years before I would have gotten to them is really incredible. And to see, you know, there's this whole idea around Gen Z right now that like they're lazy or they're like or that they're apathetic towards things like school and all this kind of stuff. I think they're apathetic towards the system as it is, because the system was not created for the majority. And I think that they are deeply aware of that on a level that most of us were not until we were much older.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And they can see the, I think they're much more aware of the kind of like the faults in the system.
Yep.
You know, yes.
And because we were, you know, like generationally, as time's gone on, and I'm talking about recent history, really, kind of 20th century going forward, the idea where you questioned authority was particularly in the UK, was like you didn't, you know, there was an literally an order of things, the way of things,
yeah,
betters, you know, all that kind of idea. And obviously that's all been challenged, and I'm not saying that it's any way been fixed, because it really hasn't. We know the system we live in, but it feels like they can look at particularly secondary schools and the kind of manufacturing, the kind of factory approach, which is get them through it, get them out, and get them into the workforce, and they can see the cracks in it. They can see the falsity of it. Like, some of it's really, you know, I'm not saying education is incredibly important, but it's how it's been done and how it's been kind of, like I say, this sort of like, we just get them through, we tick the boxes.
There's a book called The Pedagogy of the Oppressed, which talks about how the whole education system is designed to churn out obedient, willing little capitalists, you know, who do not ask questions, who obey authority. And you'll see this in a lot of schools, that is the top-down message. Kids are punished for speaking out. They're, you know, it really does depend on the school. And, you know, some are more actively resisting the system and trying, yeah, to find creative ways to make the kids free-thinking individuals.
And a huge thank you to the teachers that are going up against the system and that are, you know, working their absolute hardest with very little pay or thanks, to the teachers that are truly caring about creating.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, I thank them from the bottom of my heart. I really do.
Yeah, yeah, you know, absolutely.
My kids' lives are in their hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our kids go to a performing arts school.
Yeah, your oldest and my youngest.
Yeah, yeah. Which they get a lot out of. And we've all obviously been involved in the performing arts in many ways and shapes. And this leads me very nicely to, for a plug on a certain gig that's happening.
Yeah, we have a...
See what I did there?
Yeah, that was good.
Thanks very much.
Very, very subtle. Thank you. I liked it.
Yeah, in the spirit of the performing arts bringing us all together and sharing a communal space and a, you know, social therapy and bonding session. In 2 weeks from today, March 21st, we have a big old subtext event at the Old Woolen in Farsley. I think we've mentioned this before, but it is... It's going to be a great show.
We got who's playing?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Fold is headlining, and we've got the horn section on stage with us for the first time since pre-pandemic era. And of course, we have the mighty Oakley Riot.
Hey, yeah, that's me.
That's you. Yep.
And Kambla MC, who's also on our label.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be fantastic crack.
Yes.
You really saw that. It's a really great, no, it's a great venue, is the Old Woolen. It's really, it's just, you know, like really fine. But we really need people to buy tickets in advance. That's the big thing.
Yes.
Because
that's right. Artists and venues are all mutually struggling in these difficult times. So the poor old venues, they can't afford to lose money. So they need to see a certain number of tickets sold ahead of time. And it's stuff difficult for them. It's difficult for artists. So we would really appreciate if you're planning to come anyway, if you could just buy your tickets a little bit further ahead than you might have otherwise done. And we know people are struggling with the cost of living crisis, and we appreciate that. So your support means a lot to us.
Yeah, yeah. We were very excited to have sold out our past two shows, and most of the tickets are bought last minute, and I totally get that because I fall into the same thing as well, and I do that as well. But
me too.
Yep. But in this case, we are really, really asking you guys that if you're going to buy some tickets, please buy them now because it would really help us to get on stage and give you a great show.
Damn straight.
Absolutely. And it would also help sort of support the Old Woolen, which is brilliant.
Yes.
And a really fantastic. And it's great to have sort of venues that aren't just city centre as well. And, I think localised venues are so rare nowadays. So, to kind of keep community venues open is really, really important.
Yeah.
Indeed.
All right. So we last week did an artist spotlight.
We did.
Yeah. And we got to talk about Fold, which is Seth's band, and that was incredible.
We forgot to play any music, which is quite funny
fault. I'm looking at you, Seth, and it's all your fault.
I was emotional.
You're always emotional.
Now you're just bullying him.
I know, fuck it. So, but we were sent some music by a band called Drella.
Yes.
Who are from Bradford.
That's Drella.
It is indeed. And they have a brand new single coming out on Friday, the 22nd of March.
Day after the gig.
And it's called Guillotine. This is absolutely in our wheelhouse as a track because basically it's taking a swing at the system. Shall we play a little bit of music so you guys can have a little taste of what it sounds like?
That'd be good.
So that's a little clip from Guillotine by Drella, which is out on the 22nd of March. And they are our spotlight today. What do we all think of that? Obviously, we've had a listen. We haven't just listened to like 30 seconds. We listened to it before the show. What thoughts?
I mean, it's totally within our wheelhouse in terms of how politically motivated all are. I love the track. It's giving me kind of Bob Villain, He's a Man vibes. I just think it's a great track to sort of, like, I kind of want to headbang to it, you know?
Yeah, it's got that kind of jump up and vibe, which is, it's a grow as well because it's about the fourth time I've heard it now. And every time I hear it, I go, no, I really like this.
Yeah.
First I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. And now I'm like, oh no, this is great. It's got that kind of like, that Guillotine line and stuff is just so like full catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of the early 80s British punk wave and, like Subhumans and Crass. I grew up listening to that shit. I had all that. My brother had it on vinyl. It's got that same kind of energy. And I like the fact that lyrically it's not nihilistic. It's actually quite empowering. It's saying, we need to fucking kill all the rich people, basically.
Eat the rich.
But, that expresses a very valid sentiment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a call to action song, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, very yeah. much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and it kind of, I think sometimes you said it was kind of on the nose, which is, can you explain what you mean by that? Like,
that's been used, I think that's been levied at Fold as a criticism. And it's not necessarily a criticism. It's really just an observation that the language is, it's accessible. It'll be easy to understand for a much wider audience than some of the more
convoluted
dense words in lyrics. I mean, at least, and also you can understand what they're saying, which helps, they're articulating clearly. But yeah, on the nose, it means it's accessible language. It's not too dense. It's not too hoity-toity.
And like when we say on the nose as well, it feels like a backhanded compliment, but it's absolutely not because I think... Telling
it like it is.
Yeah.
And I think all the great especially from the punk era, that kind of stuff was like direct. It wasn't like we're trying to kind of dress up our protest in coded language there's no subversion going on. It's just absolutely like a sledgehammer through the wall, right? And that's kind of the joy of it. And it really embraces that musically as well. In the music, it's not trying to be subtle. It's absolutely someone kicking down a door, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And now is kind of the time for that thing, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you think about you think about someone like Public Enemy, which was my first access to kind of political music. Like that, like it wasn't, it wasn't subtle a lot. You know, Fight the Power is not a subtle. Don't Believe the Hype is not subtle. You know, and yeah, there was layers in it, and you know, and there was great references and all that stuff. But you know, it was a call to arms, right? Fight the Power. It was, you know, direct call to arms, and that, I think that's the great thing about kind of music in this vein, is that it's unifying, right? It's, you know, it's a reminder that you're not by yourself. And you want to be part of something that's, rather than this kind of like, well, we're all a bit fucked and just, you know, sit and kind of be nihilistic. It's like, no, 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 we need to go and kick some shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. I think I said this before about, you know, history kind of repeating itself in terms of what the people want from art. Like, if we look back at Shakespearean times, we had the Elizabethan era that was all like, you know, escapism, Midsummer Night's Dream.
Witches.
Witches.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you talking shit about witches?
So nice.
And then we kind of entered into the Jacobean era where everything got dark as fuck.
I'm going to burn down a nunnery.
Yep.
With nuns in it.
And that was an actual play.
That was Faust, but that, by yeah. Marlowe.
Well, what was the time period for those? Just real... Roughly. Are we talking like...
Like 1600s, 1700s, yeah.
But the thing is that what the people wanted changed. They didn't want to escape into art anymore. They wanted the art to reflect the corruption that was happening in the highest levels of society with the most powerful people who were making decisions that were affecting the common population's lives. And I feel like that's what we're seeing now on a mass scale, is people sort of realizing that people going out of the escapism era and falling more into the realism. They want to hear and see what is going wrong right now so they can get angry about it and do something about it. And rightfully so. And anger gets a bad rap.
Yep.
Anger is an energy, to quote B.I.R.
Anger is an energy.
Yeah.
Anger is a sense that something is wrong. And it's the fuel that you feel like you need to do something about it.
Yep, absolutely. No, that is spot on. You know, the world really is shaped by stories. The way people think, you know, the way people understand reality is shaped by stories. And our stories have been collectively hijacked by capitalism, by those, you know, by the elite powers who rule everything. And we need to reclaim those stories. We need to amplify those perspectives that show things for how they truly are.
And the thing is as well is, like, it's still entertainment, right? It's not because we talk about, when you say political music, I think people think kind of very solemn and it all been very po-faced and very sort of like, oh yeah, worthy, and you know, you're getting told off a bit. And you know, and I've, you know, there are definitely acts like that, and I've heard acts like that. You know, I remember, like, that been really levied at, like, Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy, which sometimes felt like a chore to listen to. It was like, I just feel like I'm being told off, and that just makes me want to go and, like, do the opposite. And where with music like this and Fold as well, like, it's still, like, really accessible. It's still fucking great. It's still really engaging. It makes you feel fired up. And you know, when you feel uplifted, that's when you feel powerful, right?
Mm-hmm. You have to win hearts and minds. You can't just beat people over the head. That's, you know, that's always been our sort of underlying thinking behind Fold. You have to offer something.
Yeah.
And draw people in. Whether it's like the, you know, it's big smashy fun energy like this one, or if it's something more reflective.
Yeah, because you can still, like, yeah, this is great fun as a record. Like, it's pretty...
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, but it's also taking, like, pot shots at Maggie Thatcher and, you know, and those kind of, those historical figures who are, you know, still part of the narrative of certainly of the UK today, in terms of, like, how we're feeling, you know, like, it's the miners' strike's 40th anniversary, in terms of when it started today, on this very day. And, you know, like, those figures, you know, it feels like, why are you taking shots at, you know, Margaret Thatcher? She's dead. You know, it's like, because those decisions loom large in this generation's world. Like, those decisions to shut down communities, because that's what they did by shutting down the pits and offering no alternative to in terms of employment.
Yep.
Entire communities built around an industry and then shutting those down.
And vilifying protesters and stifling dissent.
And we're seeing it again. And that's when it started. We started the them and us sort of situation, rather than people's right to protest and right to talk about it. And, you know, this feels like protest music.
Yep. It absolutely does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This definitely makes me want to go out in March.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, but also like fucking get in a mosh pit as well. And,
it does make me want to mosh, yeah. Mosh in March.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That sounds like a... sounds like something, right?
That sounds like something.
Subtext,
we do.
Sublabel.
Subtext, mosh and march. Yeah, we should, like, a punk label or something. Or maybe, okay, we'll have a discussion about
that. Yeah, that's going to have to be another. We'll table that.
Okay, we've all got that right. Mosh. By the way, we're copyrighting it, though. You know, in the full capitalist way.
Oh, yeah.
We that's how it's.
Mosh and march, TM.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sending that in. Drella, just to remind you that single which we listened to, we've been talking about, is Guillotine. That is out on the March 22nd. They're also playing a headline show at the Underground in Bradford on the 23rd of March at 7 p.m. and tickets are sell out. Please buy tickets in advance.
Please buy tickets for their gig in advance.
And so Underground, hey, if you're listening, you're on our radar. We wanna play at you.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, there you go.
I wasn't sure how you were going to phrase that. I thought you were going to say we want to play in you, and then that also sounded wrong. And
yeah, I mean, it's all got a bit.
We want to play at you sounds like we're going to stand in front of the management and like surrender the cars at them.
Serenade you in the middle of the fucking night.
He's just trying to have his cereal in the morning and we're standing at his window like...
We're playing! So yeah, please do go check out Drella. That's Drella. And that's... they're on all the usuals. But thanks so much for having me. If you want your music discussed in this very educated manner, then please do send it in to info@subtext.co.uk.
By three very qualified musicians. Yeah, who are...
I think the link's in the description of the podcast also, if you didn't, if you can't memorize shit. Then,
That's fair enough. Are we all regretting losing that E, by the way, in subtext?
Hell no.
No, you know what? It makes it more fun to describe. My favorite is when I say, oh, it's subtext, but without the E, and they go, why? And I go, because E's suck. I don't know. We fucking hate E's.
Yeah. Fuck you. Yeah, it's our form of protest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We don't know what we're protesting, but
Eton. We're protesting
it.
Against Eton.
Yes, Eton.
See what I did there?
We're going to go with that. Cut everything else. We're going to go back and say that this was the plan all along.
Yeah, it wasn't just because we like to abbreviate things.
No, not at all. Okay, so it's that time of the show. Okay, it's the time of the show. What a prick.
I feel like we do need some little like music to kind of... We've broken up into some real segments now.
Yeah, we do need... I think, should we do some jingles or something?
Some jingles?
Like some... I say jingle. We do have a really good jingle at the beginning of the show.
Yes, yeah, we do. Yeah,
yeah. We could do like little section-y jingles.
S-U-B-T-X-T.
No, that was shit.
Go to Patreon, give us money.
Very good. Yeah, so it's recommendations time.
Who's going first? Who's I going can't first? Remember who went first last time.
You went first last time.
I think I did, yeah. So should we start with Seth?
Yeah,
Seth. Fuck it, I'll go first. Start. All right. So I'm going to recommend a series called Shogun, which is on Disney Plus.
I'm supposed to be boycotting them.
I had to watch this because this is based on the book by James Clavell, and it's set in 1600 in Japan. They actually made a lavish TV series of it in 1980, which I watched with my mom on TV. So it had that kind of sentimental value for me anyway. I know the story, but this version of it is absolutely fucking incredible, and I am like, it's the best thing since Andor, Ed.
Wow, you're really selling this, I mean. Yeah.
No, but for real, like, I mean, so they've taken the book and they've recontextualized the story with through the lens of our modern understanding of globalization, colonialism, multiculturalism, everything, and it's so relevant and it's just fucking amazing. The attention to detail, like the way that, you know, they speak in the period Japanese language. So, I mean, the show was written by English writers, but they had the English translated into modern Japanese, and then that Japanese was translated into the Japanese of the Sengoku period, and then that was then had to be like retranslated into English. And it's fucking, and the sets are incredible. The costumes, and it's I always forget his name. So the main character, Lord Toranaga, he's played by Hiroyuki Sanada, who was in The Ring.
Oh, you know, you met that guy? Nice. Yeah.
He's awesome. I've always loved that guy. He's great. So I mean, he's like 63 now, but he produced and is the main role in this.
Incredible.
And his character has such immense subtlety. It's, oh my God, it's so good. I'm getting shivers talking about it. It's that good. Anyway, it's only three episodes in so far, and they're releasing one each week. So anyway, yeah, it's my big recommendation.
Excellent. Check it out. How long are the episodes per?
They're like an hour.
Nice. So it's good.
50 minutes, hour?
Yeah. Good, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a limited series, or is it going to be?
No, it's limited. I think it's 9 or 10 episodes.
Yeah. Are they going to release any more after that?
Oh, no.
It's just limited.
But there is even a podcast already that goes along with the series, and I'm obsessed with the podcast.
I love it. Because sometimes something's so good, you don't really want to leave the world of that show or that film, and so you kind of just absorb everything around it.
I think that's the thing I'm really enjoying about kind of nowadays, is like modern days, is the sort of like, yeah, the what podcasts have brought is like that thing of like really being able to kind of wallow in fandom. For me, like there's Leeds United podcast, Squareball, which I've mentioned before, and like they're, you know, like I just get to, so if we win a game, like, you know, and we do well, you can kind of just like just keep that joy going.
Yeah.
I mean, shit when we lose, but you know, then you can wallow with them and be like, that was shit. It's, you know, that thing of like really being able to kind of like occupy spaces, which is very, very nice.
Yeah, I mean, this one just made me, I think they advertised the podcast and I immediately was like, you know, because I never pay attention to those ads, but for this one, because like every shot is a work of art. It's like a painting. It's so beautifully done. It ticks all the boxes. The casting, the acting, everything.
So it is, remind us what it is again.
It's Shogun on Disney Plus.
Okay.
Excellent. Shall I go next?
Yes.
Good.
Absolutely.
I recommend, it's an audiobook, which is how I consume books because I'm dyslexic, and I've said this every time.
Fair play.
It's Unruly by David Mitchell. It's about basically the kind of how the whole kings and queens got started in this country. So it's the history of it from right back kind of as far as they can go. So David Mitchell's a comedian. He was probably best known for Peep Show, which I fucking love. but he's just a massive history nerd. So there's a lot of real great detail in there. But, you know, but he also laughs because of King Canute, and he thinks it's funny just because it sounds a bit like King Cunt. if you're interested in if you're just interested in someone being funny and sweary about history, I highly recommend Unruly by David Mitchell, available in all places.
He is a gifted comedian.
He is very good. You, Eli?
I was going to go with the latest horror book that I'm reading because, you know, it's very on brand for me. But I'm actually going to go with a lighthearted comedy series.
Oh.
Because, you know, we could all use a little more of that. It's by Justin Noble and Mindy Kaling. Justin Noble's the one that created Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Mm-hmm.
So, favorite of Ed and I's.
Yeah, absolutely. Nine-Nine!
So, you know, it's got the same kind of messages in terms of how characters are portrayed and social issues and that kind of thing. It's called The Sex Lives of College Girls. It's fantastic. We've got Renee Rapp in it, who's the new Regina George in the Mean Girls musical that's just being released. Just comedy gold throughout the whole thing. It is very entertaining. You will hate most of the men that are in the show.
Solid.
And when my boyfriend pointed that out to me, I was like, it's not my fault that men are usually the villains.
Quite right.
Ooh, what's it on?
It is on Amazon Prime. Sorry.
God damn it.
I know. I'm sorry. And you have to buy it on Amazon Prime. But but you know what? You can definitely find it pirated online. Every time I hear that, I hear, you wouldn't steal a TV.
Downloading illegal music is like going
theft.
Is going to a record shop and stealing. It's not though, is it? It's a lot less risky.
So you can definitely find it pirated somewhere. But it is a great show. It's just great for some laughs. And if you want a little bit of levity in your life, it's a fantastic show.
Subtext Records does not advocate piracy in any way.
Yeah, also don't pirate any of our shit.
Yeah. Everyone else, but not us.
Yeah, it's fine.
Stick it to the man for everyone else, but
not us.
Not us.
So some fine recommendations there. And we'll put them in the show notes as well. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back at some point, as long as, you know, people don't get ill or break something. I'm looking at you, Eli.
Yeah. I did. I literally went to use your bathroom and then nearly just toppled down the stairs about 40 minutes ago. So that's fair enough.
And they are solid cement, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
I need to make like some bubble wrap like trousers or something, make them fashionable.
Yeah, do it. I mean,
I think I need it.
If we can make more podcasts, that'd be brilliant.
You can zorb in next time.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks very much for listening. I've been Ed.
I'm Eli.
I'm still Seth.
And as always, till next time, dig deep and shout loud.